I don't know that I've ever sat down and read the words to that song, A Mighty Fortress. But no more fitting song could have been selected for the sermon this evening, as the very epitome of strength is the Savior, Jesus Christ. But Christ, having fulfilled the plan of God in coming and dying upon Calvary's cross, then providing the direction to the apostles through the Holy Spirit, has projected toward us a command and a request to be strong. That is because there is a need to be strong. Our text this evening is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, one of many which it could have been chosen for strength, for being strong. The Bible has much to say about it. But this particular text is very clear on the command. Notice by the way it is written that it was written to brethren. It was written to people who were already members of the body of Christ. But the fact of the matter is that not every member of the body of Christ is as strong as every other member. Therefore, there is a need there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Spiritual strength is taught throughout the Word. Growth that occurs in a congregation needs to be of a spiritual nature first. We, as people, children of God, gathered together in a single place, are to grow spiritually. We, as individuals, when we part and go to our homes and about our activities throughout the week, are to continue to grow spiritually that we might remain strong. We know that at one point we had no strength. We know this because Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 points it out for us. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those Roman brethren, we have in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, a passage that shows also what the Lord was willing to do with us when we had no strength. This, of course, is talking about one coming to the point, or time progressing to the point, when the plan of God was provided for humanity. The passage reads, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." There was no remedy for sin prior to Christ dying upon Calvary's cross, taking that sacrifice to the Father, and then the establishment of the church. But now we have that strength. We also know from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verse 13, that Christians are expected to find the strength that has been provided if we would but seek it from the Word of God. It seems that some seem to think that all they need to do is drop to their knees and raise their eyes to the heavens and ask the Lord to give them strength. There's nothing wrong with praying for strength, but we must also seek that strength. We must try. Notice what those Corinthians were told there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." It's important that we see what the Word is saying to us there, what it was teaching them and what it by extension is teaching us. But not only is it important to know that we are to be strong, it is equally important to know why we need to be strong in the Lord. I want to consider several reasons this evening why we need the strength that can only be found in Christ and in the Word which He sent to His apostles through the Holy Spirit. As we deal in this life, we are servants. There's not a one of us who are Christians who are not servants. The Bible teaches that we are to serve God and that we are to serve others. First, let's look at what is most important, and that is serving God. To do so, I want to investigate Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 through verse 29. We know that as the penman was directed to write to the Hebrew brethren, they themselves, because of weakness, because of others bringing in damnable doctrine that included embracing the law of Moses, which has been nailed to the cross, some of the members of the church who just happened to be of the Jewish nation, therefore Hebrews, were in danger of apostasy. And we see that the penman was directed to write this to them so that they would be strong, so that they could serve God acceptably. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, he's talking about the church. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, not every service to God is acceptable. It needs to be first and foremost in accordance to his word. It needs to be provided, offered to him from one with the right attitude. If we have strength, we're going to serve God acceptably. We're going to reverence God. We're going to have godly fear when we contemplate what it is that we're supposed to do in order to serve God and to do so properly. Verse 29 is also included within this reading, for our God is a consuming fire. All too often, I think people fail to realize or fail to remember that God not only is going to provide reward for those who are obedient and those who are faithful and those who remain faithful until the time that the Lord comes or that they depart this life, but the Bible is equally sure about the fact that those who live separate and apart from the word of God, those who fail to obey, or those who fail to remain obedient, they will receive punishment. At the same time, while serving God, we are to serve others. As you look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, and turn in your Bibles there, we see an admonition from the pen of the Apostle Paul given to the church at Galatia as directed by the Spirit that they would hopefully understand that life is not all about them. They had been called into liberty. But notice what he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. They were to be spending their time serving their brethren. Their brethren were to spend their time serving them. Therefore, we as Christians are to serve one another. We are to look out for the other man's good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, just the next chapter over. It tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. This does not negate the fact that everybody has to bear their own burden. Whatever a person reaps, that's what they're going to sow. But we are to help our brethren. We are to encourage our brethren. And we cannot serve if we do not have the strength that we should have. That's because being a servant is not an easy task. Think about it. What does being a servant to others involve? What does it entail? It involves giving up one's will to do the will of another. How many times have we offered to someone, if I can do something to help you, let me know? What we are asking them is to tell us what your will is, tell us what your desire is, tell us what your need is, so that we can help you with it, and we will submit ourselves to you to accomplish that which you need done. Once again, it doesn't negate the fact that every person ought to carry as much of their own burden that they can. But it does state that we all need to help one another. Being a servant is not an easy task in that it often involves doing jobs that others often do not want to take. Kind of reminds me of a thing I saw in a movie one time, and I thought it was so much like people. And because people wrote the script for the movie, I guess that's where that came from. But there were five men standing in a line, and this military person was standing there with them, and they were in the military, and he said, I need two volunteers. And three of the guys, being a little bit smarter than the other two, stepped back. And all of a sudden you have two that seemingly are volunteering to do whatever task it was that the sergeant wanted done, but they really hadn't desired to take on that job. The difference between them and a servant is a servant will willingly take on that job. They will do that job. It involves doing the same things over and over and over. It often involves long hours, at times rising early, going to bed late, putting forth the effort. Being a servant often involves little, if any, thanks. Sometimes, every one of us in our own lives are reminded of the fact that ingratitude hurts. And it's wonderful when you are appreciated. Not that we do it for appreciation, because we're working for God. We're doing everything that we do as if we are doing it to the Lord. But oftentimes in this life and in this realm, thanks is few and far between. But being a servant is also not an easy task, because it involves a labor, the fruit of which may not be seen by the one who labors. Thinking about this, there was a man in American history. I don't know if he existed or not. I'm told that there was a real person that did this. And he traveled all across America planting apple trees. You've heard of him. Johnny Appleseed. And because he went to so many different places planting apple trees, he likely never saw the fruit of much of that labor. That's kind of the way a Christian is, as a servant of God. Oftentimes, we may or may not see the fruit of our labor. We spread the seed among those who have not heard before. And we don't see sometimes the fruit of that labor. But as we're serving one another, perhaps we may not even see the fruit of our labor. But if that's why we do it, we're doing it for the wrong reason. We're doing it because we love that soul, because we love God, because we want to serve them. It involves a work that is often criticized by the very one receiving the benefits of the one serving. There is another saying, and I meant to jot it down so I would not mess it up in the sermon. But it goes something to the effect that nobody remembers when you do right, but nobody forgets when you do wrong. And that's the way it is sometimes in dealing with people when you're trying to be a servant. But when all of these things are combined, when you're doing the same things over and over, when you're working these long hours, when you're striving, not even seeing the results of your labor, or all you receive is criticism, people grow disenchanted, weary in their service. That's when we need the strength. That's when we need to be strong in the Lord. When it seems that opposition is all around, remember that the strength that we need is found in the Word of God. Again, there's nothing wrong with praying for strength. There's nothing wrong with praying for courage. But we will find that strength, we will find that courage in the Lord through His Word. There are a number of verses that can encourage one who serves. One that perhaps needs to be underlined in your Bible is found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Because the truth of the matter is that sometimes our fellow servants will forget, but God will not forget. As the writer was directed to write there in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, we see, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." These people had participated in the work that God would have them do, and God would not forget that. God is always aware of what we do. It's also important to know that there will become a time of reaping. There will come a time in which that which we have done will produce reward. If we have done what God has said to do. Not saying that we can earn our salvation, or not saying that we can earn our reward. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 helps us to see this. We don't always see the end of what work we are doing. But we will reap. And there's a condition associated with that as well. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many times has the appointed task gone undone because people would not continue working at that task? They failed to receive the reward relative to that particular task. It is also a passage that helps us to understand that strength is important for us to serve because we're manifesting Jesus Christ in our lives. One of the saddest things that has ever been said about a Christian, their actions, and someone else see them, and they know that person is a professed Christian, and they see them do these things, and they say, if that's Christianity, I want no part of it. Rather, what they should say is, there's something about that person that makes them different, that makes them special. What is it? They're manifesting Jesus in their lives. And according to John chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, we see that Jesus taught in this. But folks can literally, by their lives, show Christ. And others, by the lives that we live, see Christ in us. John 13, verse 16 and following. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In doing the commandments of the Lord, we not only manifest Christ, but we also find true happiness. I am convinced that many people in the world today are unhappy. Now, Linda and I walk around, and we're people watchers. I don't know if you are or not, but we're people watchers. We happened to be in a place here just in the last week or so, and it was of a necessity that we be there. It might even have been the grocery store. And I commented to Linda, do we look as unhappy as these people? Nobody's smiling. Nobody's happy. Why are people not happy? Well, we could begin with a whole long list of excuses. We all have reasons why perhaps we have a certain look on our face, or the lack of a certain look on our face. We all have pains and discomforts, those sorts of things. But what is happiness? True happiness is if we do the things that the Lord said to do. True happiness is being strong so that we can overcome the temptations, which leads to the next point in the sermon. We need to be strong, or we need this strength in order to be faithful. If I were to ask for a show of hands of the number of people here that knew someone that at one time was faithful and then became unfaithful, every one of us would know someone like that. Why? It all comes down to strength. It all comes down to faithfulness. Faithfulness involves that constant expression of faith in all areas of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, as the congregation that had so many troubles was being addressed, we find that this is written as a requirement for Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, know that we're all stewards of God. We're stewards of the word. We're stewards of the monies that are brought into the congregation so that it is properly used for the continuation and furtherance of the kingdom of God and the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And there, the Corinthian brethren were told, moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. So we need to be strong in order to be faithful. The strength that is needed is a mental strength. We all like to think that we're strong, especially us guys. We become a little bit sad when we can no longer be as we were in our youth. I recently had a conversation with somebody about getting older. And I reminded them that I could do absolutely anything and everything that I once could do. It just takes me twice as long to do it, and sometimes I need a nap. But the faithfulness that we're talking about and the strength requires a mental strength. It's not the physical strength of body. All of our bodies are going to come up, 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 and finally peak, and we're going to begin to go down so far as physical abilities are concerned. But it doesn't have to be that way spiritually. Faithfulness begins in the heart, the mind. There are some things about faithfulness that we need to be aware of, though. Faithfulness is monotonous. I saw some heads jump up then. That doesn't mean boring. It means doing the same things over and over and over again. It means doing what God has directed and being relentless in doing them over and over and over for a long period of time. Not out of habit, not out of tradition, out of love for God and His Word. That's what faithfulness is. And faithfulness also does not yield fruit immediately. Christians who throw their hands up and decide, you know, why am I doing this? You're doing this for that which is beyond. But faithfulness requires some other things. It may involve an abundance of sacrifice. How much are we willing to give up to be faithful to God? I think that's a question every Christian ought to ask themselves. What am I willing to give up to be faithful to God? Stop and think about it. Faithfulness is not appreciated by the world, is it? Oh, it don't matter if you miss. It's just one time. Look how pretty it is outside. All the excuses that the world offers. Unfortunately, faithfulness also means that we sometimes must suffer wrongs. The world does not see things the way that a Christian sees things. Faithfulness is also discounted by other brethren who are not faithful. You ever thought of that? Those who are not faithful, those who have allowed themselves to become a little less faithful than they were a year ago or 6 months ago or whenever it was, is discounted when other people are very faithful. In fact, faithfulness might just have to stand alone while others waver and falter. On a number of occasions, I have mentioned the fact that God plus one is a majority. And I remember reading where the Apostle Paul was saying that at his first defense, no man stood with him. But the Spirit had directed him to write that God stood with him, the Lord stood with him. And when we are faithful to God, know that He's always faithful to us. But what is there in God's Word that will provide strength to those who need more strength to be faithful? Is there something in God's Word that can encourage us and build us up? Are there things that are provided in the Word of God? Well, let's consider a few. How about blessings? While you turn to think of providence, or while you turn to... Proverbs. While you turn to Proverbs, think of the providence of God. Proverbs chapter 20 and 28 and verse 20. We all are blessed of God. In fact, we were blessed this day to have a little rain and a little sunshine and the opportunity to gather together with the church to worship and to serve. But Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 helps us to see that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You know, it's interesting, while we gather here in this building, and there are those in this very community who have never set foot in this building, they received the exact same physical blessings today that we did. They received the rain. They received the sun. They received life. But think of the blessings that we have that they don't. Because we are strong in the Lord. Because we are faithful. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. What is it that makes one strong? What is it that makes one happy? It should be following the Word of God. Because if indeed it is following after the almighty dollar, destruction awaits. know that the Lord will only bless the obedient and the faithful upon his return. As you turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we see the Lord speaking of a faithful and wise steward. Again, Christians are stewards of God. We've been left with the responsibility to take care of our soul and to take care of it with the things that God has provided. Today, in this society in which we live, there are many people who honestly believe, or at least they profess to, that when the Lord comes, he's going to save everyone. And when that suggestion comes up in discussing with people, I think of inflaming fire taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel. But there in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whose Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in season?" And verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." The obedient and the faithful are the ones who are going to receive the everlasting blessing. What about the people in the world out here? Do they have the joy of the Lord? Do they have the hope of the joy of the Lord? In Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 and 23, we see this phrase used by the Lord in the same conversation, the same narrative. The joy of the Lord is something that every Christian should have here, as well as looking forward to that eternal joy. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Again, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." As we contemplate what is in the Word of God to help us to be strong, think of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. We have victory with Christ. We have overcome the world. Why? Because Christ overcame the world. And if we are in Christ, we have already overcome the world. We must continue to be strong. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, every effort we put forth towards serving God and doing his will should bring us joy. It, in fact, should bring us even more strength. So we need the strength in order to be faithful. We need the strength in order to serve, but we also need that strength in order to endure. What does endure mean? It means to hold out, to sustain, to undergo, to bear up, to suffer, all without yielding. There are scriptures that exhort us to endure. Many, many scriptures. Just a few of them are going to be pointed out here. The first of which is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Timothy was a young man. He was a preacher. He was a protege of Paul. One who was diligent in his service to God. But he needed to be reminded, as do all Christians, to endure. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Being a good soldier is difficult. It's dangerous. It is time consuming. It is fatiguing. But if we endure, we will overcome. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, again, to the same preacher, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He was telling Timothy to be strong because endurance is not easy. Endurance can easily sap your strength. What are some of the things we must endure? How about false accusations? I'm sure that we've all endured those things. Persecutions. I am so thankful that we live in a land that at least up to the present hour is free. We don't have to worry about someone coming in here and saying you can't worship God, that you can't serve Him, that you can't preach this or you can't preach that, when it's clearly outlined and laid out in the Word of God. But persecutions come in many ways and are offered on many fronts. Endurance is not easy because we have to endure losses. The saddest thing that you will ever endure is a loved one who is a member of the body of Christ going back into the world. That's a loss. Doesn't mean that it's over. It doesn't mean that you can't try to reach them, but that person is loss. Sometimes losses come in other physical ways. Endurance is not easy because it requires constant labor. You know, sometimes fighting battles without the help of another earthly servant. What about the length of time things have to be endured? I just don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. I've heard this time and time again of people with physical maladies. What about when persecutions come upon us, when losses, when constant labor is ours? The length of time, it seems like there's no end to it. Endurance is not easy. But again, God's Word can provide this strength. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 18 and following, into chapter 5 and verse 1, we'll see these things. We'll see some things that will give us strength as we seek to navigate the dark valleys of life. We're to look at the things which are not seen. What is our reward? What is our inheritance? If indeed we are looking for an earthly inheritance, well, it's not going to last long. It's going to be burned up. But if we look on that inheritance that is not seen, that is not something that is tangible here on this earth, not accessible, it is accessible, but it's something we can't lay hold on while we are here on this earth. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Knowing this, we should be able to endure. Knowing that what awaits us, according to James chapter 1 and verse 12, is a crown of life, will help us to be strong. As James was directed to write to those Christians scattered abroad, he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Who is it that's going to receive that crown of life? Those who overcome those temptations, those who seek strength in the Word of God, and those who faithfully continue to fight onward. You know, we've mentioned three things for which we need strength of the Lord to serve. That's not a lackadaisical, halting service, or robotic service. We don't come to church because we've always come to church. But a zealous, diligent, fervent service in full accordance to the Word of God. Is it going to be popular? Absolutely not. In fact, the church that is strong is not a popular thing. We also noticed to be faithful. Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Enough said. And also to endure. We got to keep fighting. Got to keep fighting all the way to the end. If indeed we cease before the battle's won, then we will suffer with the defeated. Friends, the strength does not come just magically or miraculously appear in our lives. I have known people who have thought, you know what? If I just turn to the Lord, I'm going to have that strength. You know, there's truth in that statement. But what does it mean to turn to the Lord? And where is that strength found? the pond is full of fish. But until you take some actions to remove those fish from the pond, you'll still be hungry. God has provided us everything that we need for life and godliness. This strength comes from and is only attainable from a consistent and diligent study of the Word of God. Remember this as we wonder where that strength comes from. The Word of God is extremely powerful. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. But once we have a knowledge of God's Word, then we are to apply faith to all that God has revealed to us. What are the actions of faith? We must believe the facts. One of the facts that is pointed out, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. When we look back on our lives, we think, how much have we suffered? Compare our suffering with the suffering of the Apostle Paul. Our light affliction. We must also embrace the promises. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We've got to look for that. Strive for that. Remain strong so that we can receive that. And to do so, we must obey the commands. And let us not be weary in well-doing. This is the same thing as being strong in the Lord. Faith believes everything that God has said. Faith expects God to perform on its behalf. Faith is that which remains when all is removed except our trust in God. One of the greatest examples of faith that you'll find in the Bible is the suffering servant Job. In all these things, he never foolishly went against God. But it's important also to know, before a person can be strong, they must be in Christ. This is where we come in. We are to work on being strong because we are in Christ, but we are also to help others understand how that they too can be in Christ. The invitation is very clear, it's very concise, and it's not too hard to follow. One must hear the Word of God, as Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 tells us. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and that was well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. One must also believe. John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. One must repent, as Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 directs. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And one must confess Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thou mayest what? Thou mayest be baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul was told, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And following doing these things, a person then is in Christ, and they are to strive to be strong. And if they're not strong in the Lord, they're going to falter and they're going to fall. Hopefully that's not the case with any here this evening, but if indeed it is, God has provided. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we see the sad state of one who has done just that. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What to do? Seek pardon from God in accordance to his word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. The question in our invitation song tonight is a very simple one, and it's one that I can't answer for you and you can't answer for me. Is thy heart right with God? And don't say, I'm a Christian. That means my heart's right with God. No. Look deep inside. Examine. Ask yourself the question and be honest. Your soul depends on it. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we implore you to do so this evening. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've allowed sin to come into your life and you become weak and not strong, and as a result you have sinned and fallen short, know that you can come back in repentance and prayer. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come?